A matter of time.
Move over there.
She straddled his good leg, rubbing herself against it, kissing him softly, catching his hand and sliding it up her side, while at the same time she slipped her fingers under his nightshirt, started stroking him into life.
Is this more of your charity?
He asked. There had been a time, not so very long ago, when she would have slapped him for that, and he would have gasped at the sting of it, and with his eyes he would have asked to be slapped again. When he had been whole and strong as a lion, and could have flung her across the room with a flick of his wrist, hurting him had felt daring, thrilling, an exhilarating gamble. Now, so crippled and so vulnerable, the thought of hitting him made her sick. Now, looking in his eyes, she thought she saw a kind of hate for her, a wounded envy. She guessed that he blamed her for how things had turned out, almost as much as she blamed herself. And she imagined he would very much have liked to fling her across the room, just to prove he still could. There had been a time, not so very long ago, when he had been almost too gentle with her. Now his one hand clutched her, gripped her, yanked and crushed and twisted, as if to make a point of how strong it still was. There had been a time, fucking her husband, she had occasionally teetered on the brink of boredom. Now she occasionally teetered on the brink of fear. It was not like it had been, but what was? You have to make the best of it. She kept rubbing at him.
What I had in mind is a fair trade for both parties.
Ah, the business arrangement. I can agree to that. And he caught her under the arm and heaved her onto her back. Probably his hope had been to flip her effortlessly, but with only one leg and one arm, he had to rock one way, then the other, and ended up with his stump tangled in the blankets. One of her hands was busy between her legs, guiding him, the other around the back of his head, pulling him close, while at the same time she could prop his shoulder up with her forearm and stop his useless hand flopping into the way. His teeth were gritted with pain and effort, growling more with anger than pleasure. She wanted to stroke his face, whisper calming noises. Fates help her, the same shushing she would have given her crying children. Could he not have let her ride him? It would have been far more enjoyable for them both. But one works with what one has. She strained up to kiss him. There was a sharp cry from next door, and they both froze. She dropped back against the pillows.
Fuck. Let them cry, he hissed.
No. She made him grunt as she wriggled out from under him, slid from the bed and into the cold.
You don't have to be at their mercy.
After all the damage she had done, motherhood was a chance to do one thing right. She pulled her nightgown on.
We're all at someone's mercy, Leo.
Through their dressing room, dimly lit by the glow of the dying fire, and into the nursery. She could tell them apart by their cries. Ardy's howls were thuggish demands. Harrod's whines were pleas for mercy. 3 months old, and already they were so different. Ardy fed with a purpose, and once she was asleep, nothing would rouse her. Harrod pecked and fussed and shook awake at the slightest sound. She lifted him from his cot, quivering, he was crying so hard. She held him close, shushing and cooing desperately. She pulled the door to and went to sit in one of the chairs beside the fire, the one with the shawl over the back that still smelled like her mother. She froze with a strangled gasp. Someone was already sitting there. Someone in the black uniform of the People's Inspectorate, firelight picking out the bones and hollows of a hard frown. Vic Dan Teufel.
Have I been denounced?
Asked Savine. Surprising how cool her voice sounded, perhaps it was a kind of relief, if it had come, to know she need not worry any more about when it would come.
Not yet, said Teufel. But we both know it's a matter of time. Judge hates you.
Now Savine had her hammering heart under control, she was damned if she would give any hint of being rattled. She sank into the other chair, pulling her nightgown open, as though her breast was a hidden weapon she was showing off. Harrod wriggled about, mouth searching desperately for her nipple everywhere but where it was. She finally managed to get him settled and sat back frowning.
Judge hates everyone.
Oh, but she has some favourites.
If all you have is threats, you can make them during business hours. I've an offer, too, for you and your husband.
An offer it's better you aren't seen making.
I'm not really the front door type.
No, thoroughly underhanded in my experience.
Well, the darling of the slums never flirted with a falsehood.
Silence stretched while they carefully considered one another, as they had a long time ago when they shared a carriage on the way to Valbeck.
I suppose you have me there, Savine admitted.
Her trouble with Teufel was not that she was a liar, after all, but that she had proved herself a better liar than Savine.
Do you know where my father is? She found she had asked.
No, I wish I did.
He hasn't even met his grandchildren.
A ridiculous, sentimental thing to say to a professional torturer. She half expected Teufel to burst out laughing, but all she did was thoughtfully narrow her eyes. Savine looked down at Harrod.
I dare say I'm the only one who misses him.
Oh, I don't know. His tenure is starting to look like a golden age. Where's your husband? I need both of you.
I dare say he'll be along.
The door crashed open, and Leo took a clanking step through on his iron leg, shoulder of his useless arm against the doorframe, drawn sword in his other hand, stark naked, and still halfway hard. Teufel glanced over, unmoved by either weapon.
Careful, you might have someone's eye out with that.
He lowered the sword.
If you break into people's houses, you can't complain about what you see.
Oh, I'm delighted someone in the city's still having fun. Teufel watched him limp to the settle, toss his sword down, and drop onto the cushions. He winced as he twisted his iron leg off, then sat back, his stump thrust forwards. When he'd been a perfect specimen of manhood, he'd always been oddly modest. Now he loved to put his many scars on display and see how people reacted. To no one's surprise, the inspector was unmoved.
I appreciate the visit, said Leo, but knowing how much you value honesty, I don't like you.
Good. Mutual suspicion is the best basis for an alliance. Everyone knows where they stand.
Leo frowned. An alliance? Forgive me for saying so, said Savine, but the last time you came offering help, it turned out rather badly for us.
You were betraying King Orso then.
And now?
You'd be helping me put him back on the throne.
There was a pause, one could only have called pregnant. Savine spent it thinking of the old union, her old life, her old self, and trying not to let her desperate yearning show.
I somehow doubt that Judge would simply give the power back.
No. Vic leaned forwards, the firelight bright on one side of her face, the other lost in shadow.
We'd have to take it.
Savine held Harrod a little tighter. More blood, more death. She glanced over at Leo. No sign of doubt in his eyes, quite the reverse.
What do we get?
He asked.
Four chairs on the closed council when it's reconvened.
Savine could not help taking a sharp breath.
Four chairs would once have been a dazzling prize. In the old days, Archlector Sult and High Justice Morovia had ruined lives by the hundred over a single one.
What if I want more? Asked Leo.
I'm not here to bargain. Four's what I've got, and four's what I'm offering. It's fair.
Fair might look different from where I sit, said Leo, with what I've lost.
You could always ask Judge for more.
She might listen if I offered her a treacherous chief inspector in return.
Leo's threats moved Teufel no more than his scars or his cock.
Go ahead, but don't be surprised if I say the whole thing was your idea, but you got greedy and wanted more than I could offer. As you both know, I can be quite convincing. I expect we'd all end up in the dock together, probably with a tailor and an engraver and a couple of dark-skinned strangers accused of a conspiracy to make the river freeze.
It all sounded depressingly plausible.
What exactly do you expect us to contribute? Asked Savine.
For four chairs, she imagined it would be quite a lot.
Your friends from Angland, your friends from the Open Council.
She paused a moment.
And the People's Army.
I don't have it, snapped Leo.
If you stretched, I reckon you could get your fingers around it.
And what do you deliver?
Lord Marshal Forrest and his rebels, well-organized royalists inside the city, information from inside the inspectorate, Styrian contacts and Styrian money, not to mention the king's blessing and the king's forgiveness.
You've spoken to Orso? Asked Savine.
Teufel gazed levelly back.
I have.
She resisted the urge to ask how he was.
And you have his agreement?
I do. And we're supposed to take your word for it, sneered Leo. Forgive me if I...
Savine cut him off.
Judge has to be stopped.
She had dreamed last night of falling from a high place and woken in a cold sweat.
At any price.
Leo gave an unhappy grunt.
Well, on that we can all agree.
Four chairs on the closed council is fair. After everything that had happened, it was far more than they could have hoped for.
We will provide the Anglanders and the ex-lords of the Open Council and the People's Army.
Leo took a breath and sighed noisily through flared nostrils.
Great tempests wash up strange companions, Farron said.
Never had you down for a philosopher, said Teufel.
I've been catching up on my classics.
The inspector gave a sharp little nod.
Then we all have lots of work to do.
I'll see myself out.
The door clicked shut. Harrod had stopped feeding, his head rolled back, mouth open, a dribble of milk on his chin. Savine lifted him, carried him to the nursery, softly lowered him into his cot, chewing her lip with concentration as she slid her hands out from under him and left him beside his sister. She looked down at them, both sleeping, Ardy on her side, one long-lashed eye closed and her mouth wide open. Harrod on his back, tiny hands palm up as if he was surrendering. So small, so perfect, so vulnerable. She remembered something her father once told her. Being a parent means always being afraid. Afraid for your children, afraid of your children. When she turned from pulling the nursery door ever so gently closed, Leo was watching her.
So we're in bed with King Orso now, are we?
Savine winced. Did he really have to use that phrase?
We are taking the best chance to bring this nightmare to an end.
And perhaps to repair a fraction of the damage they had done.
We can't trust Judge Leo, you know that.
She likes me well enough.
She winced even more at that. He could only be saying it to annoy her.
For now, perhaps, you are a likable fellow,
when he chose to be.
But once she has thrown everyone she hates off the Tower of Chains, she will start on the people she likes. That's what she is.
He frowned down at his stump, scratching gently at the scars.
I dare say you're right.
I usually am.
It's a gamble, though.
The way things are going, the bigger gamble would be to do nothing. We're living on borrowed time. Anyone who used to be powerful, anyone who is powerful, all of us.
Leo let his head drop back, looking at her down his nose.
We fought against Orso.
That was then. He had that cruel look now, that bitter, jealous look. Do you still love him? Again, the urge to slap him.
I never loved him, she lied.
Not even as a brother. This time she wanted to punch him. She realized her fist was clenched to do it, but she made it open. The satisfaction would not have lasted long, and she could let him be angry. She had all her limbs, after all. She slipped one knee down beside him.
What can I do to prove it?
And she worked her other knee onto the settle so she was straddling him. She pulled her nightgown up with her right hand, down with her left, cool of the night on one bare shoulder, warmth of the fire on the other. She did not look in his eyes. She was not sure she would like what was in them. There had been a time, not so very long ago, when he had claimed to love her, and, if she squinted, she had almost been able to convince herself that she loved him. But you have to make the best of it. She took his hand, guided it, slid it up her chest. She took his face, kissing him, working her hips against his stomach. It was not like it had been, but what was? She reached behind her, found his prick, rubbed herself against it, looking for the right spot. The cry echoed from the other room. Ardy this time, hard and insistent. A moment later, Harrod joined her, higher, faster, weaker. She closed her eyes and sagged.